Are you well? It is it's a privilege to be at this gathering. Let me just drop the live stream to 150 people. There you go. All right. Can I get a loose mic?
Yes.
This is a meeting, and so we're going to discuss things here. Arnu, what I think one of the first things that we must discuss, you were on such a roll earlier that I don't know who can persecute you. You're so special. that must be a one in a million. But I just want Arnu, if you can speak on Woord en Aksie, because this forum is a kingdom forum. It's a city church forum. This is not concerning about one specific household, although we will always enhance households. But this is about this is about the kingdom of God in the city. It's about the church. It's about the body of Christ. It's about everything. It's about important national and international matters, which we will decide here. And Arnu, I want you to speak on Woord en Aksie and the vision for Woord en Aksie. And you can flow and you can preach while you're speaking.
Don't. I'll give you a chance, eh? I believe the main plan in the Father heart is to reveal Himself. The heart of the Father is to reveal Himself. And one of the questions people always ask as Christians, you know, I wish I could know what God says. I wish I could know. I wish this, you know. Talking of as a father that is far away, you know, he doesn't encounter us because, you know, maybe we're sinful and all these things and so. So the main desire in the heart of the Father is to reveal Himself. Woord en Aksie is an organization that that's the purpose to reveal the heart of the Father to people. The purpose of Woord en Aksie is not to not holding camps. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to reveal the heart of the Father to people. And then we make use as the means to do it is the word of righteousness. That's the means that we use. But the word is not the end. You see, the word is the means to the end. That's very important. And our strategy is to hold camps where we put people under 8 sessions of declaring the word of righteousness so that they can experience the Father in their hearts. Because there's one thing. There's one place where people do not argue with each other. The moment they are together in the presence of the heart of the Father, all arguments is out of the door. You see, and yes, there are theology and whatever, you know, that's not the point. But the point is that we battle to get to a place of unity in our world because we want to start with the theology. And the Bible says we must be of sound doctrine. That's not the issue. But the point is, we can't start there. The point is, we must start with the presence of the Father and see His heart concerning us. And see the unconditional love in the heart of the Father. And if we can find each other in the presence of the Father, you know, it's very easy to walk together. And the biggest problem why we battle in our country and in the world for denominations to work together is that we make the means and the strategies and the whatever the main thing, and the Father is not the main thing. Because in the presence of the Father, there is no division. I mean, you open up your eyes and you heard that, you know, this is your father and your mother and this is your brothers and your sisters, you know. You've got nothing to say. I mean, this is your brothers and your sisters. You just need to get along with them because they're not your enemies, they're your brothers and your sisters. You see, unity is very easy when you are in the presence of the Father. But unity is very difficult when we start from structures and strategies and doctrines and Leidenschrift, what do you call it, confessions of faith. And it's not that it is evil, there's nothing evil in it, but that is not our focus, that is not our purpose. And Woord en Aksie was very successful all the years in revealing the heart to the Father. And it was like people going back to their towns and bringing the reality of the Father back to the town. And, you know, God loves people, you know, and doesn't matter, you know, where you're Sunday or not, whatever, you know, God, you're part of God's plan. You're in God's heart. And that is the main ingredient of movement. I believe God is busy creating movement. And the main ingredient of movement is to experience us together in the presence of the Father. And one of the most important things in the presence of the Father is that there's no competition in the presence of the Father. You know, in the presence of the Father, we can just acknowledge this. He's got this gift and he's got this and she's got this gift. We start to fight for each other's gifts. We don't try to promote your gift. You've got a place. The Father will look to it. And even your brothers and sisters will look after it. It's a different viewpoint. It's not to become the man of the hour. It is just to be who you are and who he is. And every one of us is something in the presence of the Lord. The fact that you breathe today says there's a plan upon your life, a creative purpose. You've got something to say, to do, and whatever. It's not over. You're still breathing. So keep on going. And we need to become very jealous and even aggressive to see that, you know, that this guy must come to his fullness, you know. We are here for each other. And to take this through Word and Actie into the country, and at the moment we have the opportunity, me and Tinus and someone else, to be the directors of Word and Actie, and to in a certain sense, but revive the whole thing. I've been sort of there for 36 years, in and out, and you know, as a speaker, I was never on the management team or so. But to bring back that reality and to make it an export product into the country, the Father that has made up his mind, the Father that said, listen, everyone is mine, every town in this country. I mean, when Word and Actie was on its peak, you know, we planted congregations with the people coming out there, because Word and Actie is a effort to bring the big Philistines to the Lord. You know, the people that is really, you know, die groot Filistyne wat in die diep in die sonde is, deep into the world and whatever. And because it's very effective, this because all of us are looking for one thing that you can't deny. You're looking for the Father. You're looking for the Father. And I've seen it myself, and I can just say it again, you know, when we sort of invaded a gang there in Stellenbosch, you know, that guy, that one night when I got, let's say, entrance to him, you know, you say, what is the main one thing that this guy cannot resist? What is the one thing you can say now? And I told him, and I said, listen, my friend, all of us are looking for a Father. And the biggest news is that there is already a Father that has chosen us. He's chosen you. You're his best. He desires you. And then he was sitting there without words, and he just jumped up and ran out of the place. And they caught him that night because I broke in, and the next morning they phoned me out of the prison to come and see him. He told me, you know, I can't sleep, because who's this person that have decided that he's my Father? You can't deny it. The whole being of mankind is longing for fatherhood. The world is looking for a Father, what is Cassie Carstens. So we, as we say, we're using Make of Camps and to do the whole thing, to get to the place of revealing the heart of the Father. And we've seen now with the women's camp, I mean, there was 85 women. They were all over the country except Western Cape. People from everywhere. That was always like that. People from everywhere come to Pretoria, because maybe Pretoria is a gateway city. People come here. They want to hear. They always say, but somehow the Lord is working from Pretoria into the country, because it's a governmental place in South Africa. People listen to what comes from Pretoria. Scary. Without even asking, is it in the Bible? but Pretoria, and I believe what happened now is that the Lord has given us an opportunity where in terms of people that they have chosen and brought in the congregation of Shiloh, is a plan of him to just explode this whole revelation of his Father and take it into the at the moment I say the country, but it's actually for the world. So the question is, what is your part? Your part, you're part of it. Because you are also that product that shines from the heart of the Father. The biggest contribution what you can do is not in the first place to do something there, but to be someone there. To be someone for someone else. And just to walk to some people and just engage with them and reveal the heart to them and show them the heart. And all of us are qualified for that. All of us. If you believe you're a, if you say you're a believer, you're qualified for that. Amen. And to be part of that and just, I know we're going to see a movement of this. It's unstoppable. The time is here, and I just experienced it that morning. The Lord say, I'm taking off the lid of the cookie jar. It's only cookies in there. It's only good news. But I'm not going to hide any longer what is the fullness of my heart and my gospel for mankind. If it's too good for some people, then it's maybe too good, that it's fine. But the Lord lifted the cookie jar, the lid of the cookie jar. You can now come. You said,
all right, and now thank you, Arnu, and we bless you with the function that God has given you, and also the ones that is around you, and also the Father, the spiritual Father, grace and mantle which is upon your life. And we thank, you know, God's answer for many problems in the world is a Father. Is in the it's God is the God the Father is the answer, but in the spirit of Father, He sends spiritual fathers to demonstrate, to almost just to just give, to open up that spirit of His heart to men and women. And Joseph, do you want to come? Because this thing is going to go further. There's waiting a big surprise on the Woord en Aksie people. They're not just going to be they're just going to receive the blessing. They're also going to give the blessing. And just let me give you 2.5 years. We wanted to buy the property, Lida and myself. We could arrange the money. It just didn't gel, but we knew God was in it. So eventually we agreed with the Woord en Aksie leadership at that stage with Albert and with Wim. We're just going to go in rest and see what God does. So Dr. Ben, my spiritual father, then gave me a word and he said, you're not going to buy that property. God doesn't want that. It's going to be presented to you. And I said, all right, well, if God wants to do it, then amen. Because we just say amen. You know, the world, you shout to every circumstance and to the world, shut up, and you say, thank you, Lord, because God has spoken. And then Arnu came with a word of knowledge earlier this year that he said, Woord en Aksie can never sell their property in Pretoria. It's been part of the plan. So God does not want it to be alienated. So now we go with that. And Dr. Ben also said to me, in one of his words he said, the nations and Africa will come to us. And he then looked at me in the word, he was preaching word. And he said to me, Tinus, that's where the Woord en Aksie will become important. And one day, they just in a conversation, he said, Woord en Aksie will also be the army receiving the harvest, the nations. So so currently, Woord en Aksie has got a very strong Afrikaans base. Not that we have a problem in presenting anything in English. We just go with but currently, this is just what God is doing. It's almost as if that. But I want to say something about the Afrikaner. And you must know this. The Afrikaner is apostolic in nature. What the nations must do is call the Afrikaner to his purpose. He's apostolic in nature, and he's a resourceful person enabled to bless. He must bless. So, you know, all the issues that we have in our country, those things are, when the kingdom comes into it, it will be easy. You'll have one Afrikaner farmer, and when you see again, when his heart is right, you'll have 10 African farmers. You know, it will just happen, it will prosper. But this is, it's apostolic in nature because he moved because of his gospel. That's why he came here. So we must call things to its purpose. And everybody has a purpose to it, you know, and which is phenomenal. So then what we do believe is that there's a time that came that the men will come to David, and David will not go all over, and nations must be trained. Remember, he didn't say lead people to Christ. He said teach them to become disciples, make disciples of all nations, and teach them in everything that I have taught you.
So this is the way we're going to do it. And but this is a work of the Lord. The Lord will do this. And but I also want to say, when I say that about the Afrikaner, you see, when you call somebody on its purpose, you call him into his purpose. When I say this, all the groups in South Africa, the nations, the ethnical groups, everyone has a purpose, have a redemptive gift to bring to the table. And we need each other, even as nations. And South Africa is the middle point of the world, and the Lord has placed us here on all big sea routes, and God has placed us here to also be an example to the world of harmony and unity and the love of the Father. But part of this plan, and we've been crafting the plan and discussing the plan and knowing that we need the campgrounds, and we know, so the question is, how do we reach the townships? How do we reach Witbank or Nelspruit or the townships or Bushbuck Ridge? And there God has taught us over many years about the apostolic wineskin. The wineskin is fathers and sons. It is household of faith, city church, the corporate gathering. City church is another word for the corporate gathering. Like today is a corporate gathering. The Woord en Aksie camps are corporate gatherings. So Joseph, in 2 minutes, just share a bit of your heart concerning the townships. And also, I want you to you must not be Biscaya. You know what's Biscaya? Jan, what is Biscaya? Shy. Tell about the connections that you have in Africa and in South Africa.
Good morning, everybody. Greetings once again, in Jesus' name. So, especially with Woord en Aksie, the key in what Dr. Ben said, it's true, because God gave us a network. I work with an organization that He gave us all 200 nations. We first launched in the whole Africa with a footprint. But the strategic way in which the Lord did it was, remember there was NAFCOC. So the president of NAFCOC was called by Patrick Motsepe. He happens to be Sipho Mseleku. But Sipho Mseleku is a son of one of the revivalists in South Africa. They actually called him Daniel Mseleku. You know, they call him Fotloza. Fotloza means a man of faith. These are those who pioneered the African church, which is called the African gospel. So he is the son. So he becomes the president of NAFCOC when the country comes together with the white, the Afrikaner and black fraternal, financial fraternals forms FAFCOP. He becomes then the CEO. But he moves there to become the CEO of the economic forum in the whole of Africa, seated his office in Egypt. So I come in relationship with him, and in my relationship he said, listen, God has given me a vision, and it's to bring the economic aspect of the kingdom to the whole of Africa. So we then form a relationship. We start building this organization in the whole of Africa. We form a network where we're working with churches, with leaders and people in business. And that's how God establishes a network across the whole of Africa. So as I sit here, he then says to me, I want you to head, which is called spiritual development, become the president across in the organization and head all the pastors in all the 200 nations. The purpose is to bring kingdom governance. Talk about the kingdom and the kingdom mentality. We were breaking off religion. So we formulate that. And I say to Tinas, you know, especially with the campsite, we'll be able to bring in all the leaders across Africa. We launched the organization across the whole of South Africa. We went into Africa. I traveled with him, you know. And my message is very simple. It's bringing an apostolic message, bringing the order of God. God as a father. Because the crisis is an identity crisis because there's no father. But if you look at it, the whole of Africa is struggling for that. You know, and people don't understand it's baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is into relationship and fellowship with the Father. You know, the message we're preaching And I think when we met, he asked me this morning, when did you meet Tinas? We met years ago in Centurion, you know, and just God aligned our hearts. But where we sit now, and I said to Tinas this week, is that I asked Dr. Ben, you know, I said, before, you know, Reverend Michel asked me 12 years ago to join him while we're building the Global Business Roundtable and a global fund for Jesus. Now, the fund is active. You know, the chairman was attacked physically in terms of his health. And 3 months ago, I assumed the chairmanship of the Global Fund for Jesus. And every year, this is what they give. So, but all of it is starting from my father and God building and rebuilding the body. So, Reverend Misha asked me years ago to join him. I told him, no, God said no to me. It's not time. I'm a Joseph. I wear a coat of many colors. There's ministry. There's business. There's, you know, attention to other things. But it was not time. So he approached me again. He said, I've prayed. I'm 71 years old. I'll be 75 when we go to election. But the Lord is speaking to me and my wife that you should join. You should be the person who takes over from here to lead this party. And I said, let me tell you why God is saying that. It's because it's kingdom governance. We are here to bring the kingdom of God to South Africa. Because that whole healing process, whether it's suffering, realigning to our kingdom purpose, and I fully conquer that the Afrikaner is pioneering in industry. This economy will go nowhere without them. Because what you carry is a grace. So you need to understand why God brought you here. And if you don't understand that is God brought you here, just like he brought the Indians here. They thought they came to cut, sugar stuff. No, you were brought here. If you go into Christ, leave the natural. If you go into Christ, you will find the origin and the intention of God that was established before your time. For example, when Samuel came, he was looking for cows that were lost. No, God was trying to realign him to the prophetic to say, listen, even don't forget about the cows. They were found. The person God was looking for is you, for alignment to the purpose of God. Because God is looking to establish a kingdom here, and you are the king who needs to take over and establish that. So take away the political nonsense out of it. Understand the prophetic intentions of God. So now I get to the city hall here, and the councillor calls me. He says, no, the president wants you to chair Tshwane. I'll give you a story about it. Because every time I'm in Tshwane, I always said, this is my city. This is God's city. You know, and the Lord told me some things I'll share in time. So when I get there, I say to Tabang, listen, I think the Apostolic Forum should meet at the city center. You can't have a city church that is not meeting at the city center. So I said to him, listen, I want you to make it happen. The president sent me to tell you what needs to happen and give you strategy. But here's what I sense the Lord saying. We need to be praying at the city chamber. And there's an apostolic forum. There's a city church that needs to come and gather here. He said, no, I'll talk to the mayor and everybody, and then he goes. He talks to the mayor. Tomorrow we're meeting with all the pastors. And I said, but it's central. Taxis can come here. There's a underparking. There's security. The best security. I mean, every time I walked David yesterday, the best security that protects the mayor and everybody's here. So I meet the chief whip of the DA. I said, listen, we need to meet here. She's a child of God. And we're talking. I said, listen, me, don't talk me politics. I'm here for kingdom governance. And this city must be the city of God. There's a model and a prototype that must happen here, you know. And I had a meeting with Anthony. I think it was on Monday. And Anthony said, listen, we've been gathering in Lodium, but if that is set in the city center, I said, no, I've spoken to Tinas. He said, we will come there. We will shut ours. We will meet at the city. But what that then means is that you are in a central place where pastors from Tembisa, Alexander, Soshangube, Mamelodi, if they don't have a car, they can get in a taxi and it drops them exactly at the city center. So that's what God has put in my heart to say. And I said to them, we don't have to pay anything. We'll call the mayor to pray for the mayor. And all the political parties, they can come attend the meeting and hear the word of the Father. You know, yesterday is very funny. One of our REC in ACDP is a beautiful African woman. She said to me, "Apostle, I've listened to you. Tell me what's the problem. Why is it that black people don't get it that they are royalty and you got it? We just met for the first time." She said, "I can see in your attitude you understand who you are." She said, "I also a pastor on my other side, and I'm battling with this issue." I said, "Let me tell you why they don't get it. It's the heart of the Father." I said, "Nothing breaks it than that spirit. It's an identity crisis, and only the Father can give you that identity." So as we mobilize, and you saw we had the meeting with that mobilization of Witbank, Vetbank, and all other cities, with those key leaders who are sold out to the vision, who understand the message and the doctrine. But I believe it's beyond what you are saying when you say this is global. I believe there's a prototype and a model that God wants to take out of South Africa into Africa. When I speak, I say, "Listen, you asked me to come, but you don't understand. This thing is going to have to reshape to the kingdom, the order. This is just an ushering platform to usher the kingdom governance of God in the earth. God is a Father, and there's an elect body, and this is the city church that we have to administer." Now, what that means is that Tshwane is about to experience a prosperity it has never seen. I'm telling you, that's why they can't do it. All the political parties, they can't deal with poverty. The things we are going to deal with in this city is to establish a stronghold of the kingdom of heaven, to deal with all the issues they cannot even deal with, because they don't have the capacity, neither do they have the spirit. And Ezekiel said, "When he spoke, the spirit entered me." So that spirit comes from the spoken word from the Father that puts us into that particular trajectory and motion to administer. And I pray God will prepare our hearts for that. You know, because the nations are coming. The nations will be here in Word in Action. They'll be here to be trained, to be given the mandate into the rest of Africa. And the last thing, Pap Ben said to me, you know, when I was talking this thing to him, he said, "Apostle, let me tell you what happened." And he was telling me about the vision he had with Mandela. You know, I know many of you know he related that vision. But let me tell you what I believe was happening as a prophet, as I interpreted to him. I believe Mandela was saying, "Listen, I do not have the spiritual capacity," because Mandela is seen as a father. But he was saying, "I don't have the spirit of God to father. So I'm handing over the burden to you and the responsibility." Now, I'm going to say this as a prophet. God is giving you guys that mandate and assignment to father a people. Take your race out of it. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with color. The only color in the spirit is the spirit of Christ. That's the color. Thank you.
Thanks, David. He's an apostle of the Lord. The only reason we won't say apostle this and apostle that is we're trying to move away a little bit from that stigma. But there are true apostles, and Joseph is one of them. We acknowledge you, Joseph. But we also, part of the plan will be to have apostolic forums in areas, regions, places. Now, apostolic forum, a city church, is the corporate body gathering. This is all. Woord in Aksie is an apostolic forum. It's an apostolic gathering. Or even if it's, there's just a hum on my sound, Keith, if you can just check that, please. So whether this city center thing is powerful, and we're going to go back, we're going to have summits in the city hall as well, and we're going to do things on Loftus. But what we're going to do is these forums, whether the mainland one just keeps on going as the mainland one, but we need a city one, which is that one, which is that's the gathering. God needs a place where he can speak to the city. I think your microphone must be switched off. Just switch that one off. Just check. At the top. God wants a place where he can speak to the city. Now, currently, this is the place. So if you come to this meeting, But God said to me, I must not, I sat with a long list of people that I wanted to invite yesterday. God said to me, just leave it. He knows what he's doing. And he's bringing the people that must be here now for what we are supposed to do. Remember, there's always a household connected with 15 staircases to the city church. And that household supports the city church. But what we're also going to do with Apostle Joseph is we're going to meet. And if you want to be part of it, we need to drive out and meet these leaders like Witbank. And then activate them, bless them to start the Witbank Apostolic Forum. Then Woord en Aksie, they send people from all over. Those people must become part of those forums, help those forums establish. And Witbank's been on the cards, Nelspruit and Bushbuck Ridge. You know, there's 3 million people living in Bushbuck Ridge. There's no apostolic forum. And then the other one, we've got one in Plate, and the next one we're going to start, this is just where we are involved, is we're going to start in Port Elizabeth in February. Amen. Glory to God. You know, you Praetorians, Port Elizabeth is the easiest place on earth to visit. You jump on a plane 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're there, and you use your points, the points that you've made for your flight, and then fly back in the afternoon. It's the easiest place, and you're going to take a swim. And the other one is Pastor Cooney and Willie Ruiz, that is establishing not in Warm, but close to Bella Bella. They're busy there. They've started that forum. They've got it on a monthly basis. But these apostolic forums are very important because that's where you don't gather as a household. We gather in the name of the Father. And very appropriately, like Arno is speaking this morning about the Father. So that is important for Woord en Aksie. Woord en Aksie, the program for the rest of the year, we've got a youth camp next weekend. Please, if you want to, people get saved. There's just a phenomenal way of how people get saved when they go on a Woord en Aksie camp. And they get activated. So we've got a Woord en Aksie youth camp next weekend. Please come, register, go to the Woord en Aksie youth camp. If you're English, we'll make a plan. You'll hear the word in your language. Don't worry, we'll make a plan. We know how to do that. We've been to Chile. And so send young people from all over. Send them we call them to the Woord en Aksie youth camp. Then we've got a men's and a women's and a marriage camp still this year. But this is just the things are evolving. Then the important is we've got a men's gathering tomorrow morning. And Stefan Swanepoel will be our speaker, and he's going to bring his testimony. It's a radical testimony that he has. Many people that do not know how to get to the Lord, invite them. Let them come tomorrow. Let them come, but you have to register because you're going to get a boerewors role. And so please come and activate people to come. All right, so then a quick word on Chile. That a group of us went to Chile recently. And Nico, did you arrange anybody to speak? Is there any of the Chile people that wants to just give a, just show me if you want to give some feedback? I'm not going to ask you immediately. I'm going to ask you a little bit later. Is there? Okay, Yanni, I thought I'll ask Yanni. So we've been as an apostolic delegation to Chile. We've had a conference there. I think it was about 1,000 people in the San Cristobal Sheraton Hotel. And phenomenal. The attendees came, I think, from 10 different countries. Now, that's the thing when you do something in South America. People come from all over. And I can tell you now, we connected with the Spanish-speaking world. Apostolically, spiritually, we connected. The conference, apostolic conference, was attended by 120 different groups. Even the Assemblies of God. Some of the denominations came in. And it was a phenomenal time that we had there. Very powerful. You must know, every church, every household of faith, must be connected to apostolic grace. You will not. The organizational leaders, committees, church governing boards will not be the leaders of the church in going in future. It will be apostolic grace. It will be the fivefold grace. And if churches want to prosper, they will need. You don't need necessarily your pastor doesn't need to be an apostle, but the church needs to be connected to apostolic grace, not organizationally. Relationship base. There must be those relationships. All right, so the Chile one was phenomenal. I think a lot of you already had feedback. as far as those things are concerned. And but we're going to keep on sending missions. I trust the Lord just from our household that 100 people will be traveling, will be able to go on these international missions. And all you need, and you can ask Ruth, you can ask Shella, all you need to travel is grace. It's a divine enablement, a divine infusion. Don't say, I can't travel. You can travel. And now what we're doing is we formed a company and we have travel training that we help people and say, how do you prepare? But we also impart grace on how to travel internationally to take the gospel. And those people, remember, we don't just preach at a place. We plant a table. We plant something. We plant a table where there's fathers and sons and where the word can be brought. And we saw a phenomenal reaction. There's a video which we will, Lida, if you can, and Nico, if you can get it for us for next month, that we show just Christians Bible school, how he trained his international Bible school, online Bible school, and the phenomenal effect of that thing and the substance that they share. So internationally, we have a mission. Africa is close on God's heart, and I can tell you, you will see many African people come here, and there are more graces necessary because some pastors need medical treatment, they sometimes need healing, they need various things, sometimes they will need to stay here for a little bit longer. My view is we will use Woord en Aksie, eventually use it, we won't rent that campgrounds out. We will use it for just the ministry work that God has placed us in. But part of, and I say that place must be five-star. It must be five-star. There must be a kitchen running 7 days a week. And there must be people must be able to come in and out. We're upgrading that place. It will be a beautiful place. All spiritual and body healing. Students I see coming there for a longer time. Maybe exchange students. Those sort of things going to happen. You'll see it's going to happen. And God is a genius. Shiloh is not coincidentally so close to the Woord en Aksie campgrounds. God is a genius. He's giving us a lot of facilities in that area. I remember years ago, a couple of years ago, we had a youth conference. And I asked the Lord when we must have the youth summit. It was a youth summit. And the Lord said to me specifically, he said to me, Die Poort Laerskool. I said, Lord, really? We have 20 other places to go, but he clearly said to me, you go to Die Poort Laerskool. And when I said to everybody, we're going to have the youth apostolic youth conference at Die Poort Laerskool, everybody said to me, there's no way. So I found out, and Pastor Charles knew the principal. I went to the principal, I said, we want to have an apostolic youth summit in your school in the October holiday. He said to me, no problem. So we had it there. But there's something about the geographical location also of those places that you can go and see. If people plant ministries close there, it blossoms. You can just look around. And so we're there because when Pierre de la Rue mentioned something about the dome of the force field of the Holy Spirit that eventually forms if you keep on bringing grace into a place. So a lot of healing will take place. A lot of sending will take place. A lot of kingdom work will take place. Amen. So that's very exciting. Then, I think enough said. It's important that we share the vision. So this morning, I just want to speak a little bit, and I know my time has gone on, but I felt this morning when Arnu started speaking, when he opened with a breaking of bread, this is a meeting. It's a discussion. And it's important that we give feedback, that we inspire also. So first of all, over the last 15 years, the Lord has taught us on the apostolic wineskin, specifically on the apostolic wineskin. And that apostolic message is the message of fathers and sons. We've also come and worked closely with other apostolic houses of Dr. Segi Governor, Pastor Tamu Naidu, and other apostolic houses. And there's a phenomenal accuracy that you find in South Africa. Dr. William Heen, which we are also connected with, he's Benny Heen's brother, but the word, Arnu, you will just, when you come into contact with Dr. William Heen, it will be like glory to you. You will not stop speaking because there's such a oneness of heart and how do we see. But Dr. Wilhelmine said he's been to many countries in the world, but there's no place where what he finds in, as what he finds in South Africa. And I do believe that the, it's obviously because of God's purposes, and the, but if you look at the sent ones that God has sent over the years to South Africa to bring to, like a man like John G. Lake and others, but how this country was actually built on the fear of God. Now, what I want to say about that is we honor previous generations. You know, Dr. Ben always say they were not necessarily wrong, but they were incomplete. So whoever the previous generations, the previous leaderships, we honor them, we thank the Lord for them. But so we've crafted a lot of, into the wineskin. That is the apostolic fathers and sons. It's things like the corporate temple, the city church. We've defined those things, the set man, the second man. I mean just the principle that God sets a man in place and that you must work with that man. A lot of Christian groups doesn't know that. They think they must challenge the man of God. So many, many spiritual groups come from a place where a governing body is almost like, I don't want to call it on its name, but it's almost like a Jezebel that pushes spiritual organizations in directions which is not the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because God has a way that he works, and he works by God setting Moses over the congregation. Now that guy, that little girl in the Levi tribe, or in the tribe of Dan, she couldn't tell the nation the next morning, we're going to go that direction. God works with leadership. He works with order. And God works with a man. And only Joshua was only raised up when Moses was dead. Even King David was anointed as king. He was powerful in the battlefield, but he could not reign Israel when Saul was still there. When Saul was dead, the men came to David, they called him, and they brought him back to, and he built Zion. All right, so that's very important, that there can't be, only a dragon have two heads. So the church of God, when God appoints a man over a ministry, and that man will be able to know what must happen to the finances, where the ministry must go, what the word must be, what the diet must be. It's like a father. Just think of a father. I decide my children, we must go and leave, we go to church. I decide in terms of my household, what we eat, we decide, well, obviously in collaboration. I don't do it independently. I do it in collaboration with leader and with the children. But we make decisions. So this is also not to say the man of God is independent. He does liaise, he does consult, but he gets input. And this is how any structure works. Even in the world has found this out by appointing a managing director over a business. But so over the years, the wine skin, the new wine skin, must be prepared. Now, I had personal experience where the wine skin was prepared, but was not prepared. And the wine was poured in and fell on the ground. And it was wasted. This happened 20 years ago. So the Lord took us and he showed us how the wineskin must be formed. Many things, principles that we've been taught over the years, like threefold things. The principles, I mean, my whole definition when I look at the Bible is defined by threefold things. By the way, Arnu spoke of the Father. It's the function of the Father, but the Trinity is one. It's three persons, but it's one. And so those things, the revelation of those things is very important. But God is now revealing threefold things. You had Jesus Christ. We were led to the Lord. We were coming into a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. Then we had the charismatic season where the Spirit, the work of the Spirit word, the sword of the Spirit was, that's the second day, the Spirit was prevalent. And then now it is the Father. The Father, the love of the Father, the ministry of the Father, and all around things around the Father that is being restored. You know, there's in the church world and in the religious world a mentality that God the Father is against us. God is like, we must just keep him, you know, just keep him happy. And he's actually this vicious person. And you know that what he did to Jesus. You must remember when Jesus hung on the cross, the Trinity was hanging on the cross. It was no separation. God was hanging on the cross. When Jesus was a little embryo, and he was in the womb of Mary, the Trinity actually, and this is a mystery, that the Trinity actually became an embryo, was born, cried for his mother's milk. Beautiful. He became. There's nothing that he do not understand about our struggles. He was born. He went through the birth channel. He became a gynecologist challenge. He was crying. He was raised up by a natural father, Joseph, that taught him in principles for 30 years under a natural father. Although he could articulate the scriptures at 12 and asking questions concerning himself, he needed to grow up. That you call the incarnation. Now that's a mystery that we can dwell on for a lifetime. That our God became everything that we are, but without sin. That's why he could become fully sin. He became sin on the cross, and he stood in our place. And then, so the wineskin, I've now elaborated on threefold things, but the wineskin has been formed over many years. I tell you, us as a company, I can say it to you. I can tell you straight. We understand the wineskin. We know how. I can see in ministries, when we sit with ministry leaderships, I can see where things are wrong. I can immediately see why they're not financially blessed. I tell you, where we operate in ministry, there's always enough provision. We never decide on something based on the budget. Never. Why? Because a father makes the call. But the moment you get committees making the calls, or financial people making the calls, you'll never be blessed. So there's a kingdom order in terms of finances as well, in terms of provision that must come into ministries. Once those things are in place, you can do anything. I remember when we went to Plate, we sat there with Pastor Howard and his team, and we said, we're going to do this, this, and that, and the other. And we did it. That was it. We did what we said. But Pastor Howard said after that meeting, they had another meeting, his people. And they said, the one thing which we did not mention was the budget. We said we're going to do all these things, but we did not once ask how. And we didn't have the money. In fact, we actually gave, you know, I normally used my household to fund a lot of these things. Now all of a sudden I didn't have, we were amalgamating with TTN to form Shiloh. Suddenly, but the Lord provided, supernaturally. Because we did not bow the knee before Mammon. We said it will happen because God said it, and then everything aligns to the kingdom, to the kingdom of God. So we've been working the wineskin, and I believe, Arnu, we're going to be spending a lot of time to teach groups the wineskin. I've spent time with a pastor yesterday last time I met with him, he said he lost 400 people. And those 400 people in his church, I said to him, yep, are you blessed? You had 400 people. And to lose, you're blessed if you have 400 people to lose. But I know it's because if they honored him as a father, then it would never have happened. You understand? So when the right wineskin principles are in place, those things will not happen. Divisions doesn't happen in a body when there's a man set in place by God. And the people acknowledge him, and the people understand their second man function. If the people understand that they're the happiest church on earth, now the set man we call the father, and the second man we call the sons. Then the wine. Now the wine, the question is, what is the wine? It's the new covenant. It's the new covenant. We take too much of the covenant, the covenantal basis of the Bible. We take it away. Everything is covenant. So when I asked ChatGPT, I taught ChatGPT now. ChatGPT thanks me. But I taught, when I do Bible study and I speak to ChatGPT, I tell him, you give me this answer from a Hebrew point of view, because that's where the culture sits. And every time it's covenantal, in terms of covenant. So every time the answer comes, the covenantal view, because the Hebrew people were very covenantal. Now we in the New Testament must be more aware of our covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ. Now, the new wine, this is the finished work of Christ. That's the new wine. It's the covenantal language. The moment you go into works and you go into the sin gospel, you're back in the old covenant. Yeah. Then you must stand on other principles. But when we come to the new covenant, I want to say the door of the new covenant is the love of the Father. And you come in, and the fact is the Father had never had a problem with us. With the moment Adam and Eve sinned, God visited them in the garden. God immediately started dealing with them for the comeback. He started working. It was not a big issue because he already, before the foundation of the earth, had found a solution. And that was his son. So God was never this bloodthirsty God against Jesus and against us. He was always there to seek us, to call us, to he came from his side and reached out to us. And that's the message that the world must hear. That's the new wine. Now I tell you, like Ali G one day said on a program, he said to the people, this conspiracy. He asked this Buzz Aldrin. He said, Buzz Aldrin, he asked him, he said, what about the conspiracy that there's no moon? And Buzz said to him, laughed. He said, no, there is a moon. He said, it's out on TV. There is a moon. Now you all hear it. Now I want to tell you, it's out on TV. This is the message. It's the apostolic message, the wine skin, and it's the new wine. So if the wine skin is not in place, the wine will fall on the ground. So those orders must come into place. That's the message that we'll carry to the nations. That's the apostolic message. Carry the way. And apostles don't carry that message. It's the church that carries the message. Apostles might just be in the forefront or apostolic people. But it's the church. It's the corporate body. Now, the corporate body is an apostolic in nature because, remember, if you look at Israel, it had 12 tribes. The tribe that moved out first was Judah. And Judah is a symbol of the apostolic people. So the apostolic people will venture first into a place. That's why let's call the churches more with a Levitical anointing, they into praise and worship and all those things. Those churches. That's why they don't have this meeting here this morning, because they've not been enabled. They've not been stirred by the Lord, but we are. So that's why we strategize about this. And we also understand when you plant a forum, which we call a city church, we call the corporate, the company, and it's a man that God always shows us. Remember, God works Matthew 10 with a man of peace. Now, when you take that man of peace and he goes to Witbank, we just need to, what we need to do, us, as the fivefold, discern who is the man of peace. Now, like Anthony, if I think of Laudium, there's Pastor Anthony. So you're not going to look very far for the man of peace, the one arranging all the stuff, getting the leaders together. That's the man of peace that you work. When we go to Plet, you can see very smart pastors. They have very, very smart ministries. But the one facilitating them is David from the sheep, Pastor Howard. He's calling them together. He's mobilizing them. He's sending the WhatsApps. It's the man of peace. It's that facilitator calling the meeting. And so what we do, but when these forums form, and when you go, and I know there's a strong forum in Eersteres, there's an apostolic forum in Eersteres. When they gather, that they go before the Lord and say, the whole church have come before you today. Although they're just a first fruit company. And those first fruit company, Bible says, can be two or three. They come as a first fruit company before the Lord. And then the Lord speaks to them concerning the city. And then that company grows. When David landed in the cave of Adullam, he was the only person. He was alone. You remember when he fled? He came alone. But soon, his parents joined him, his family, his natural house. Then the men came that was in distress and that was in trouble and that was running away from somebody. They joined David. Before you knew, David had 600 men and 30 of them were what we call the heroes of David. That these men had supernatural powers. Where did they get their supernatural powers from? They got it from David. That was the anointing on the leader. It was imparted to them. And this is how it will work. So these forums will work with a man of peace, and it will work with a company then that forms, and then they bring the word of the Lord and the purposes of God for an area. That is then the city church. They arrive there. They prevent everything from they decide what will come into the city and what will go out. And remember, judgment takes time to, but the moment that there's a forum and the word of the Lord can go out, over time you see our shakings take place. I believe this forum is shaking the city. For the last couple of months, we've been bringing the word of no guilt, no shame, the mystery. That's the word that we've been bringing. All right. So the wine and the wineskin. Now Abram, just want to stand still with Abram a little bit. Abram, God called Abram into a covenant. Genesis 15. God used the Hittite covenant to work with David, because God wanted to get in with the promise. God's ultimate plan was to send his son, Jesus Christ. But now he almost starts befriending a man. God takes all the initiative. He calls him out of his city, and he calls him out of his family, and he sends him to the promised land. So when David then asked about the son, first God in Genesis 12 gave the promise to David, but then he asked God about the son, and God entered into the covenant with him. So if you look at that covenant, and I must say I'm meditating a lot about that covenant, he had to cut the animals. Remember, it was like the Hittites did it, and he cut the animals, and then he had to walk. The two covenantal parties had to walk through the meat. And what happened then, God walks through the meat in the form of an oven and a torch. And he goes through. Now it's Abram's turn. You know what happens with Abram? He falls asleep. So he's sleeping. What happened to Jesus on the cross when his wife was birthed out of his side? He fell asleep. What happened to Adam when Eve was made? He fell asleep. The point is, all the works have been completed by God. We don't need to do it. God says, I'm going to be faithful to the covenant. Now, Abram, you need to walk. So God walks in on behalf of Abram. So it's impossible for the covenant to fail. So that covenant is God stepping into the shoes of Abram. But I'll tell you now what was Abram's responsibility, because people ask, what is the responsibility of the believer? I'll tell you now. So God fulfilled it. If God was able to lie, if that promise will not come out, then the whole universe will collapse. Because the whole universe, God cannot lie. If he's found to be a liar, the whole universe will collapse. Because everything is built on the word of God, which is the truth. That's fantastic, eh? So what was Abram's responsibility? When the meat was cut, the birds of prey, the raptors, it was really arseholes. Vultures. It was really vultures. I don't think it was eagles, because the eagle although he's a carnivore, it was vultures that came onto the meat. And all that Abram had to do in that whole story, he had the very important job of just waving them away. So what do we need to do? Just protect ourselves from evil. Bevaar jouself in die boosheid geen vat op jou nie. Protect yourself, and the evil one has no hold on you. The rest of our job is the uncovering of Christ in us. Amen. Two of you are excited about that. So let me go to, you can go to Galatians 1. You know, when you work with young people, you have to put these things very, very plain. All right, Galatians 1 verse 16 and 17 in the New American Standard Bible. He says, to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Okay, so this is Paul's calling. But what I want to stand still with, he says, to reveal his son in me. Okay, now the word reveal is, I'm going to work a little bit into it, because there's something we must understand. And I've made this comment. I said pastors must not now be busy counseling people all the time. What I mean with that is, does not mean we don't sit still and help people. Counseling means you become the next Christ for them. You become the answer. You make them dependent on you. All we need to do is we need to help with the uncovering of Christ in you. And because the moment it's uncovered, the moment when you see it, you will walk in it. Amen. But all that we, when you see it and you walk in it, you must just keep the birds away. You must just not sin. You must just don't venture into the wrong things. And the reason why we must not, and when I say sin in this sentence, the reason why we mustn't do it, it's bad for you. It's driving your Ferrari in Bundubashi. Your Ferrari is not created for it. So sin is to operate outside of the place where God has called you. And it's dangerous for you. So you must just keep away from, you must keep the way the birds from the covenant meet. But to focus on the covenant. Don't focus on the birds. When you focus on something, you'll give it power. When I was preparing this morning, the Lord said to me, healings will start, when this word is shared, the new wine, and it's in the right place, healings will automatically take place. It's a new, I tell you, it's a new dimension. We're in a new dimension of miracles and healings. I had a practical example this week of something which is every week a difficulty for me. And the Lord gave me a wisdom in 1 second. It became the easiest thing in my life. But I can tell you what it is. It's to make my 900 points on Discovery. Otherwise, I have to pay for a watch. So Discovery worked it out as my medical fund. Yes, it's very unspiritual. I've got a medical fund. The other guy said, yeah, but you must trust the Lord. Okay, but I'll trust the Lord with my medical fund. But my medical fund worked out. If you can do 3 or 4 sessions a week where your heartbeat is at 80% of your maximum heartbeat, you're going to be healthy. That's my medical fund worked it out, and I agree with him. But then the Lord gave me wisdom how to get to the 900 points. But that is something it's a secret. It's a mystery. I'm not going to tell you. But the Lord gave me a way that I love and which is not harmful to my body and which is very healthy for my body. But it's just something which he actually showed me. He gave it to me years ago and that plan was ignited. All right. But let's go back to that scripture. Galatians 1, 16, 17. The point I want to make with this discovery thing, there's a lot of things in your life. This is a word for you this morning. There's a lot of things in your marriage, in your finances that you battle because you're trying too hard. You need the wisdom from within. Because when we speak from above, it's actually not the heaven. When we speak from above, it just means it's the higher wisdom. You try it here, but there's a higher. So he said, set your minds on things above. There's another plan. We're working on Loftus, and there's a huge issue with the parking. I tell you, the easiest plan that the Lord revealed to us this week, I could not hold my laugh. I was sitting and this architect just came in and he said, why don't we do this? But he did not regard boundaries. He just gave a plan. I can't stop laughing that I could not see this for 10 years. Why could I not see this? But he showed it. You see, the Lord reveals things to you and you've been trying hard to solve these issues. Your financial issues, your spiritual issues. It's just the uncovering of Christ in you. There's a wisdom that you think it's difficult. It's not difficult. It's actually easy. So I say this the last month where I speak at any place. I say the Lord has a plan for everybody's life. But let me make it more practical. Men, the economic solution for your life is within you. You must just find it. There's an economic plan for everybody, and it's not the same as the next guy. But there's an economic plan for you and your ministry. So I go take you to Acts 20, verse 24. And pastors will enjoy this. And I'm not generalizing. But the economic solution for you is not your salary as a pastor. In fact, I believe pastors must not even receive salaries. I believe fathers must receive first fruits from sons. That's part of God's economic system. And you must be very prosperous. You know, the devil will never stop you giving money to a man of... the devil will never tell you to give money to a man of God. I've realized that. So he will never... If you hear, give Apostle Joseph 100,000 rand or give Arnu 50,000 rand, you've heard from the Lord. Because the devil will not tell you that. I can promise you that. Because pastors always, they're wonderful people. They always have plans to do more for the Lord. But what, if you go to any church, their biggest problem is money. That's why when you're really apostolic, you need to work that thing out. So I'm coming back. God has an economic plan for every man, an economic solution for your life. Then Paul says in Acts 20:24, he says, the ministry and the career that I received from the Lord. So pastors, I want to encourage pastors. Now, I'm not generalizing. Get a day job. Get an economic solution. Get a way that you earn income. And ask the Lord for it. And don't try now too hard. Ask the Lord. Work it out with the Lord. And get those answers from the Lord. That you can be actively involved with ministry and with a career. Now, if you want to take, people always refer to Paul. And seeing that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, we may look at his life. What did he do? When he needed money, him and Priscilla and Aquila was making tents. Now, Dr. Ben and I in the Sinai wilderness desert has looked at these tents. It's a camel hair tent. And what happened with the tent is they made these tents and then sold it. And they made profits from it. And the profits that they made, they cared for all the people in the company. So this is the money. We saw it again. We can be very spiritual. When we went to Chile, the elephant in the room is the budget. And first of all, we rebuke them because they do not have a credit card machine. Because people do not carry cash anymore. So church, household of faith, get a credit card machine. People swipe their cards. And normally, if I go and withdraw money, I'll withdraw 2,000 rand. But if I swipe my card, I'll swipe 5,000. So be clever. So that is for all the church pastors that are on live stream. And so you need to get a way that people can give. But when we went to Chile, when I walked into it, Dr. Ben came to me, and I don't know why he chose me, because it was my session. So he actually put pressure on me before my session. He said, you must receive an offer. We need $8,000. Now, $8,000 is 160,000 rand. But when I walked in there, the Lord said to me, 200,000. You need 200,000, this conference. You know, the Lord was already lined up. There was no sweat and tears and crying in heaven on the throne. Ooh, Michael, don't you have a plan? Let's call Paul. Paul, come here, put down the Bible. Come here. Paul, don't you have a plan for the people in Santiago? No, the Lord already spoke to Tinas. So when I walked in there, the Lord showed me 200,000 rand is needed. I don't know why he didn't give it to me in dollars. It's maybe because the South African rand is just more prominent. But I went to the corner of that hall, and I fixed the thing in my spirit. I fixed that 200,000 will come in here. And this was the Friday afternoon. Saturday evening, the next evening, we went for dinner with all the pastors, with all the leaders, and the money that came in paid for the conference and for the dinner. So dinner and the show. So, you see, God is very faithful, but so you need to find a solution for your own life, for your ministry, for your time. I tell you, my view is, many people that call themselves apostolic, They even conquer. You need to conquer money. I know death must be conquered. Mean no sickness anymore, nothing. No, geen skete. Another thing that must be conquered by men of God is time. Diaries. They conquer mammon, but they don't conquer their diaries. And I tell you, men of needs to learn how to align their diaries to the will of God. And it means your diary come into submission and align itself that you can come to the things of God. And we sit here this morning. We are spending this time here. But God totally takes control of business while I'm not at business. I don't have this thing that I'm God and I'm in control anymore. God is in control of my time. My deals will happen. It will fall into place. I will not suffer. I will not suffer loss. Everything will be in line. This is my mentality for years. So I'm not telling you a new idea. This has been my mentality for the last 20 years. That I say diaries must align themselves, but I'll be at the place where God wants me to be. That Arnu said something. He says, Tina's now how to be at the right time at the right place. And this is a kingdom principle. When you put the kingdom first. So I say, if you wanted to be here this morning, if you really knew you were supposed to be here, you would have been here. Yeah. Otherwise, there's some other more important thing. You hear what I'm saying? Is I'm not, this is not judging against anybody, or I'm not stepping on toes. But if you had it to be, had to be here, and this is God's first plan for you, you would have been here. Because things will align themselves. Finances work exactly the same. Things will, when you put the priorities in order, when the kingdom is first, it will work out for you. You will pay Tani Sunny's cook sisters and your rent and your car and your service and your diesel and your holiday. You have to go on holiday as well. You will pay all of those. You will have the money. You will have the means to do it. You will have, and you will have chains. You will do what is you're supposed to do. God is not running out of money. It's not as if he's got a limited supply there up in heaven and he, oh, yes, now no, I've given Dr. Ben too much. I tell you, I went to the Lord and asked, what must we give Dr. Ben when he's now going overseas? What must we give him? We gave him exactly the amount that the Lord laid on my heart. But we deal with those things in the spirit. Okay, so now let's look at this reveal his son. The word reveal, in this sense, in Galatians 1 to 6, verse 16, is the word apocalypto. It sounds like the apocalypse. Now, the word apocalypto, the word apo, means away from or removing of a covering. Removing of a covering. And the word calypto means to cover, to conceal, to cover with a veil. So apocalypse is not the end of the world. The apocalypse is the revealing. What is being revealed? The Son. So, apoko means, so Paul is not saying, to say the Son revealed in me is actually a weak translation. It is the Son uncovered in me. What does that mean? When he was condoning the killing of Stephen, Christ was already in him. Huh? Amen? Is it so? Is it true? Christ was there, but he needed to be uncovered. Now you'll see Hitler in a different light. Hitler maybe. Christ in him was just not apocalypsed. There was just not an uncovering of the one that was already there. So this is what our mission is in life, is the uncovering of Christ in. You see, what we did in our gospel is we said the moment you do the sinner's prayer, then Jesus comes into your life. No, Christ is in you. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Since the foundation of the earth, he's everywhere. He's in every person. He needs to be uncovered. Amen. This is a powerful way. So now you're going to see everybody differently. Because Christ is in there, it's just uncovering. It is when Lida, I normally got up first. But when the Lord set me free, when the Lord set me free from works gospel, I'm now sleeping later than my wife. So when Lida gets up and she goes and makes coffee, and then I and all the dogs lay covered in my bed. And then Lida comes and she takes the duvet away. She says, hey, it's, you know, you need to take the children in to school. She uncovers me. So that's what it means to be uncovered. I'm there. I'm there all along. The whole night I'm there. But she uncovers me. So Christ is there. He's in your neighbor, he's in your husband that's full of nonsense. Christ is there. He needs to be uncovered, and the word will uncover you. This is what Word in Aksi is doing, what the apostolic ministry is doing. It's just uncovering Christ. Amen. Okay, so thus, apocalypse literally means to take away the covering. This is, I'm now quoting from a dictionary. And to take away the covering, to lift the veil, to lay bare something that was already there but hidden. This is a dictionary, a Hebrew, a Greek dictionary that explains the word reveal. So from now on, you can never ever see any person without Christ in him. Amen. God did not start loving us the day when we received him. God loved us from the start, from before the foundation of the earth. So in Galatians 1:16, Paul says God did not create anything new in him, but the Son who was already there within him made visible through the Spirit. Therefore, his entire ministry is not based on human tradition. Listen here. Because this is key to woord en aksie as well, Arno. This is a word for woord en aksie. He did not consult flesh and blood. We are not called to bring humanistic, soulish teachings. How to get rid of stress. This is soulish, how to be a better husband. Listen, they can do that. I'm not interested. We're interested in the uncovering of Christ. This is our ministry. Our word ministry must be based on this. Not seven steps how to be better financial. Uncover Christ and people will be financially, because the principles of finances is in Christ, is laid up in Christ. Amen. So we did not consult flesh and blood. We're not going to bring flesh and blood teachings. Although we'll mention something. You'll mention some of the birds that comes onto the prey. You'll mention some of the dangers. You'll mention it. But the focus is the covenant. Amen. And then the last thing that I'm going to, my time is up. The last thing that I want to leave with you. And I'm going to activate meditation in your life. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be meditating this chapter in the Bible. Whenever people, when Arno calls you and say you're the next speaker at Woord en Aksie and you didn't prepare, you're going to speak on this chapter. All right. So I'm giving you tools. I'm equipping you. When Bob Ben is going to say to you, preach, you're going to preach on this if you have not prepared. Because you will always be meditating this scripture. It's Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the... No. The two sons and the father. Or the father and the two sons. Because the one that we thought was lost was not lost. The other one, the religious one, is lost. Not the one that spent his time in the world. So you meditate on this, because what is it revealing? It's revealing the Father. You can spend a lifetime on these three stories that Jesus told, and it's revealing how God operates. Now let's go through it. The coin, first of all, was in the Jewish household life. The coin was most likely part of a bridal headdress or a dowry. A married woman often wore a chain or garland of 10 silver coins. Now, 10 is very significant. 10 is where we now, in the Feast of the Trumpets. The trumpets prepare you for completeness, of maturity. So 10 is teleos. It is completeness. It refers to, I'll tell you now what it refers to. So similar to today's wedding ring, it was like a wedding ring. But in those days, I tell you, it was, if you were living in the Middle Ages, it was not nice, or not in the biblical time, and even when Ruth and so forth, it was tough for a woman to be alone. It was not nice, because they were, in society, they had really, their function was not as prominent as leader, for instance, today. They had difficulty. So as a sign of her covenant, her dignity, and the marital identity. Losing one coin would not just mean financial loss, but dishonor, shame, or brokenness in a symbol of marriage. So in Jewish, though, the coin wasn't just currency. It was a piece of her identity and a covenant value. So let's say the coin that the woman is the picture of the church. So the church looks as if it lost its identity, but it was never lost. The fact that the coin is misplaced, it doesn't mean it's lost. There's nothing wrong with a coin. The coin just needs to be put back in place. That's what the Word will do, and the Spirit will do, is just bringing that coin back into place for completeness, for covenant. Then, so no value was ever destroyed. The value was always there. The woman's diligent search with a lamp. Remember, she had to put up a lamp. What is the lamp? It's a word. It's the word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what do we need? That's why we have ministry. We just bring the word to enable for the church to find her lost identity. Hallelujah. So that's our ministry, people. Peoples, that's our ministry. Is we will be finding the coin. We will lit up the lamp, and the woman, the church, will find her identity in covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so remember what I said. You've got to be meditating for the rest of your life on this word. Then 10 is the number of completion, covenant, and order. In Hebrew culture, I always ask ChatGPT, give it to me from a Hebrew point of view. I tell you, it is so rich. Bible study has become so easy and so rich. Think 10 commandments, 10 sayings at creation, 10 plagues in Egypt. Losing 1 out of 10 represents a breach in completeness. So the church is not wrong, I said it in the beginning, but incomplete. The church is looking, the previous generation was just looking for their coin. That's amazing, hey? Something is missing in the covenant picture. The woman cannot rest until wholeness is restored, reflecting God's heart to restore shalom, wholeness, completeness to his family. Now, what happened when she found the coin? She called all her neighbors and all her friends, her lady friends, and they with great joy they came together and they had a feast. So God is feasting on the finding of identity of the church. There's a feast. That's why we have the joy of the Lord. You know why? It's people ask you again, why are you so joyful? Because identity has been restored. The coin has been found. The light, the lamp has been set up. I'm in a happy place. Amen. All right. So the next one was, and I'll just quickly touch on it because my time is up. The next one was the sheep. Yeah, I've heard messages on the sheep. The thing about the sheep is he leaves the 99. The one gospel says in the wilderness. The other one says on the mountains. But the mountain is a powerful place. It's governance. So they were okay. They were in governance. They were protected. So you then find the lost sheep who was never lost. He was just in the wrong location. But he still was a sheep. So the Bible, it says a sheep. Now, sheep is a picture of, this is a picture of our, of we, part of God's, of God's stall, of his flock. He found the sheep, and he was very joyful when he found the sheep. But what, the shepherd was very soft. He's not your ugly sheep. You know, a sheep doesn't have a homing device. You throw a cat, you take him to Joburg, you throw your cat there. Tomorrow, here's your cat back. Maybe a little bit bruised. Even your dog. Dogs, I always, when I get little dogs, I go and run with them. They always can find their way back to home. A sheep, no homing device. He just walks on. He just walks on in the wrong places. Now he just walks on. No thinking. And this is what people do. I tell you, if you've been a pastor of a house, that's exactly what people do. They get lost without trying to get lost. They just stop doing the right things, you know, and then they start feeding the wrong things. So what do the shepherd do? He goes and he does not judge him. He does not condemn him. Yeah, your sheep, you know, Tani once told me, she said he took the sheep and broke his leg for him not to walk away again. That's nonsense. He does not stand in the scripture. A good shepherd, you know what he did with the sheep? He puts him on his neck and speak to him softly. Not, yes, I'm mad at you. Now I'm restoring you. I'm taking you back to your friends. You're going to hear a lot of meh in time. I'm taking you back to the mountain. I'm taking you back to where you belong. This is God. So whatever you have done wrong, whatever, this is a message to the church, is we've got a good Heavenly Father. He's not judging us. He's not against us. He's not mad at. Even if you messed up, he's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's excited, and then he calls all his friends, and they have a big feast. This was the thing on these three lost, so-called lost chapters. Then he calls all his friends, and they have a feast. So Apostle Anthony, when you have church again, have a feast, because identity has been lost, has been restored. The sheep is back. The sheep is back. The one is back and the 100 is there. And there's a lot to say about 100. Then the last one is the father and the two sons. Now, there's messages. You can do a 99 messages from that. But the son comes back and look at the father's reaction. This is, look at the father's reaction against with the religious son and look at him with the one that got lost. He runs when he sees him. The son wants to talk the sinner's prayer. He doesn't allow him. He's immediately restored. The word restores you. Arnu referred to the word of the Father. The word of the Father restores you immediately. He was still speaking, make me. He says, make me one of your servants. Because he did the calculation. The Father said, come. Fatted calf, the joy of the Lord. This is I clothe you with a garment. Garment of righteousness. And I'm speaking about righteousness this morning. There's the garment of righteousness. Let me just pause with righteousness. We became the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, the word of righteousness, a very powerful what Arnu said, is the word righteousness is diakonai. Diakonai. Okay, that's the basic word. You can go and study. By the way, the guys that did the New Afrikaans translation translated the word righteousness out of the Bible. The most powerful word that is in the Bible. So that Bible you just use as a commentary. So the word righteousness means equality in character and act. This is the message that you must tell your people. Equality means God is right. He's doing everything perfect. He's pure. He's holy. He's everything. The righteousness of God means everything that God is are you. I'm all the things that God is. I'm pure. I'm righteous. I'm good. I'm right. Righteousness does not mean you must go and do all these things. It means, righteousness means face to face. You look him in the face, close, like that sheep. You look him into his face, and you are in relationship with him, and he is in relationship with you. No condemnation. The righteousness of God is that face-to-face relationship with God, where you can look him in the eyes, there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no wrongdoings. You're inferior. You're a minority. You are my special friend. You are as me. You are as right as I am. God is right, therefore you are right. That's the righteousness of God. There's the righteousness of man that they try to be right. But the righteousness of God is by faith. We receive it by faith. And faith is also coming from God. So you have the love of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God. You have the faith of God, not in God, but of God. Because it's God's faith that we receive. All right, so that's the righteousness of God. So the son was treated righteousness. The other thing, he put the ring on his finger. What is the ring a sign of? It's the Holy Spirit. So the garment of righteousness, the fatted calf of joy, the ring of peace, the shoes, he puts shoes on his feet. So he equips him, he mandates him. He says, go, my son, go. Immediately he puts shoes on his feet. What I want to tell you, it's not a long walk to freedom. If people come into Christ, if they get to that uncovering, they immediately equip to be sent. This whole thing that we wanted to make people dependent, you're going to walk a long road to become delivered of your addictions. No, show them who they are, and all those things fall off them. Amen. That's the message. So he clothed his son with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And his son is restored in the kingdom of God. Voila! He can rule. The other son is the religious one. He's got a limited mindset. He comes from the field. What he did there, I don't know. Because he was not working. He was just always there. So he come. Now he wants information and he get half the information. He asks, what is the singing? He heard singing, he heard dancing. By the way, there was no Pentecostal there because they were all dancing. And he comes back and he asks the servants, what's going on here? What's this singing? What's this joy? And they said, no, your brother returned. The servant has the revelation of it was your brother that returned and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf. That servant was just thinking about his stomach. He did not mention anything about the ring and the garment and the shoes and the... He said, just now, the fatted calf, we're all going to have a feast. And then he gets mad that he's going well between the father and the so-called prodigal son. He gets mad. And the story ends where father comes and begs him to come into the house. And I find that people that are lost out there, you don't need to beg them because they know what it's like to feed pigs. But you need to convince the religious that God is good. You need to convince them. That's the hard part. That's the thorn in Paul's flesh. So eventually he's so mad he stays out. And his whole mindset is not the fatted calf mindset. His whole mindset is not, I'm a son in my father's house. I'm God's property. His mindset is, my father did not give me a little goat to have a private party with exclusive with my friends. His mentality is limited, is isolated, is not of take your daily bread, but he must give it to me. I'm waiting for him to give it to me. So let's have the... So that is the attitude of the Father. He's a good... God is a good God. And that's the message we're going to carry out there. And I tell you, that message will be attacked. People will come against it. People want to prove that God is not good. But to walk with the revelation of God is good. Bottom line. Amen. In these three, Luke 15, for the rest of your life, you can meditate on it daily. And you will see, you can meditate on the Father as much as possible. You will find no negativity from Him. You will find no rejection from Him. You will find no displeasing from Him. You'll just find that He's accepted you, you're His, and He wants you. He likes you, like Arno said in the beginning. He likes you. God likes you very much. People have this problem, they don't even like themselves. Like yourself. Say to yourself this afternoon, you look yourself in the mirror and say, self, I like you. Because God likes you, I like you. He loves you, He likes you, He's pleased with you. He thinks more of you than what you think of Him. And He had a plan up front in His sleeve. Amen. When He created you. Bless you. Thank you.